Okay. So this is very loosely related to Sanhedrin. We have this Gemara in Sanhedrin in Perek Chelek on Daf Kufei Amid Aleph, which is also more famously Gemara in Psachim, although it doesn't have the exact same introduction. It's also Gemara in Harias. It's also Gemara in Sota. So it's a very famous Gemara, but it does make an appearance in Maseches Sanhedrin Daf Kufei Amid Beis, where the Gemara tells us for next week's parsha, Vayakam Bilam Baboker Vayachvosh Asono, famous line, Tana Mishim Rav Shimon Ben Elazar, Ava Mevateles Shura Shel Gedula. Right, love destroys the proper order of greatness of one who deserves to show, you know, should have honor shown to him. By Avraham, we learn that from Avraham, Dichsiv, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, and Sina Mevatel Ashura Shel Gedula. So too, Sina, hatred, destroys one's sense of propriety when it comes to, you know, showing the proper amount of respect for oneself. Mi Bilam, we learn that from Bilam, Shenemar Vayakam Bilam Baboker, Vayachavosh Es Asano. So just as Avraham got up early and saddled his own donkey out of his love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his desire to fulfill the mitzvos, so too Bilam also saddled his own donkey out of his hatred for Klal Yisrael and his desire to curse them. All right, that's the introduction to this. Then we get into a little bit of a discussion. Am Rav Yudah Marav, Liolam Ya'asok Adam B'Torah V'Mitzvah, Afilu Shalol Lishma, Shemitok Shalol Lishma, Bal Lishma, the famous comment of Rav Yudah Marav, that one should always engage in Torah and mitzvahs, even for the wrong purposes, because it will eventually lead to lishma. And how do we know this? From something that happens a little bit later in Parshas Balak, where Bilam told Balak, we're going to build a number of mizbechos, we're going to build seven mizbechos, and we're going to bring two karbanos on each one of the mizbechos, and that was Bilam's plan for sort of smoking the Shekhinah out. I can't get into the whole details of it right now, but basically, Bilam thought that Kodesh Baruch Hu couldn't resist a good carbon, you know, so he would come out and try to eat the carbon while Bilam was setting the trap, and Bilam would sort of chop some Shekhinah as Hashem passed by to try to eat the carbon. So he had Balak build Mizbechos and bring Karbanos upon them, and this was obviously one of the great Shalol Lishma Karbanos that was ever brought. But nevertheless, what do we see? The Gemara says, "Shebischar arboim v'shtayim karbanos shehikriv balak zacha v'yotza mimenu rus." As a reward for the 42 karbanos that Balak actually brought, he merited having the great Rus as his descendant. So, Amar Rav Yosi Barhuna, Rus bito shel Eglon ben beno shel Balak melech Moav hoisa. As we say that Rus was the great granddaughter. Or was the great-great-granddaughter of Balak. Eglon was the great-grandson, and Rus was his daughter. So we see that there's a concept of a person should always do things shalol lishma, and something good will come from it. So a lot of kashas you can ask on this Gemara. I'm not going to ask them all right up front, but the first kasha is, this is not really a good raya for half of the Gemara statement. The Gemara essentially can be broken down into two basic ideas. What are the two ideas you can break the Gemara down to? I would have thought, before I saw the punchline, there was only one idea. But there are really two ideas here. What's the one idea that you definitely think? Yeah?
That you always learn even a little shmok.
Right. So I would have thought that that's not its own independent idea, right? I would have thought that it's a package. Should always learn shalol lishma. Should mitok shalol lishma bal lishma. And it's right. That's a package. Without mitok shalol lishma bal lishma, then there's no way to understand the Gemara. But you see here clearly the Gemara is mechalik into two separate ideas. How do we know that? What? Right. Meaning there was never a bal lishma of Balak. He did his karbanos. And that's it. He went home. He never eventually did it lishma, but he was still rewarded, even though it never reached the level of lishma. It was simply a mitzvah shalol lishma, and nothing good ever came of it. But he received the schus of having a descendant like Rus. So it's interesting that this Gemara, the raya for the Gemara, doesn't seem to prove the rule. Right? The rule is you should always engage in Torah to Shlo Lishma because it will eventually lead to Lishma, and then they bring a raya from something which never actually led to Lishma. It's an interesting point. We'll try to prove that this is much more the exception to the rule than the rule, ironically. And perhaps that's why two of the four Gemaras that I mentioned before, the Gemara in Psachim doesn't mention this at all. Doesn't mention the raya from I don't remember if for some reason I thought two of the four Gemaras don't mention the raya from Balak and two of them do. But I'm not 100% sure. It could be only the Gemara Psachim doesn't mention this raya. But anyway, the point is that this is not a great proof to the rule. Okay, so we'll try to prove that maybe this isn't actually the firm basis for the rule. But we'll see. Okay, so there's a very famous stira that I'm sure you've heard, right? So we said that there are four Gemaras that use this lashon of mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma, right? So there's a very famous stira between this Gemara in Sanhedrin, Psachim, etc., to the Gemara in Brachis Yedzayin Amid Aleph in source number 2. So if you take a look, it says, Margala bepume de Rava, right? Tachlis, Rava used to say often, Tachlis chochma tshuva meisim tovim. What's the whole point of gaining Torah wisdom? What's the purpose? Is that it leads to tshuva and meisim tovim. Shelo ye adam kori v'shona boit ba'aviv uv'imo v'rabo uv'mishu gadol mimeno b'chochma v'minyin. Apparently he's not a big fan of the stereotypical Shana Aleph guy. Person shouldn't learn a lot of Torah, and he shouldn't learn a lot of Torah and then basically, it means to disrespect his parents and his rebbeim and those who are greater than he, both in wisdom and in number. Shenemar, as it says, Reishis chachma yiras Hashem seichel tov l'choloseim. Meaning, what's the whole yisod? Lo'osim lo nemar elo lo'oseim. Right, so we'll get to that back then in a second, but it says the first step of wisdom is yiras Shemayim. And it's good seichel to anyone who does them. So what do you mean, oseihem? Lo'osim, it doesn't say lo'osim, it says lo'oseihem. Lo'osim l'shma v'lo lo'osim shalo l'shma. This only applies to those who do Torah and mitzvos, or Torah in this case, lishma, but not shalol lishma. And then he ends off, v'chola osa shalol lishma, noach lo shalol nivra. And someone who does Torah shalol lishma, better that he never been created. So we see from this Gemara that it's actually a horrible, horrible sin to learn Torah and be osek in the chachmas Hashem shalol lishma. So on one hand, we're being told, you should always do Torah and mitzvah shelo lishma because it will eventually lead to lishma. But on the other hand, we're being told very clearly that Torah shelo lishma, a person who's osik in Torah shelo lishma, is violating a terrible, terrible avera. So this is a little bit of a problem for us. How do we understand these two gemaras? It's not a stira in the classic sense, because you can easily be mechalik between the two cases, but basically, what do we do with these two gemaras? What do we take? How do we take this package and make sense out of it? This is the main question that we have to ask ourselves right now. Now, there's a lengthier version. I mentioned the Gemara Psachim Daf Nun Amid Beis in source number 3. There's a lengthier version of this Gemara. Most of it I only included in order to understand the Tosfos in source number 4 properly. So let's just start from the beginning. It says, Ha'osim malacha b'arvi shabasa over yomim tovim mincho lamal motzei Shabbos, motzei yom tov, motzei yom ha'kipurim b'chol makam sheyesh sham nidnu na'veira la'asuyi tainis tzibur in a roa simim brach liol. There are specific times that one is permitted to do work, but if he does work during those times, he will not really see any major benefit from that work. And he's not going to see a simim bracha from that work. And Erev Shabbos is the time that they're focusing in on right now, even though listed a bunch of different times. A person's not supposed to do work too close to Shabbos. Should come home from work and prepare for Shabbos. He's not going to necessarily see a siman bracha from the work that's done at that time. Tana Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan to this effect had a following brisa. Yesh zaris v'niskar, yesh zaris v'nifsad. Some people, they'll do their work. They'll work hard and bezrizus, and they will be rewarded. And some, they'll work very hard, but they're going to lose out because of it. Yesh shafal v'niskar, yesh shafal v'nifsad. In this case, shafal is lashon of laziness. There's some people that act lazy, and they gain from it. And some people, they act lazy, and they lose from it. Zaris v'niskar, da'avid kule shabasa, v'lo avid b'male shabasa. The guy works hard all week, and then when it comes to Erev Shabbos, he doesn't work. So that's a person who, he works bezrizus all week long, but he doesn't work Erev Shabbos. So he's rewarded for that hard work ethic that he has. Zaris v'nifsa, da'avid kule shabasa, v'avid b'male shabasa. However, a person who's just a workaholic, and he works hard all week, and he works hard on Erev Shabbos, so he's losing out because of his excellent work ethic. Shava v'niskar, person who's lazy, and he wins out because of it. The low avid kule shabasa, the low avid b'mali shabasa. He doesn't work hard all week, and since he's busy being lazy all week, he's also lazy on Erev Shabbos. So, but he's not schlepping around at work when he could be preparing for Shabbos. So his laziness actually helps him during that time. But shafal v'nifsa, the low avid kule shabasa, the avid b'mali shabasa. However, a lazy person who loses out is a guy who procrastinates all week and doesn't do enough work. And then he realizes that the work is piling up when it comes to Erev Shabbos. So then he has to work hard on Erev Shabbos to make up for all of his laziness. And he ends up only working hard on Erev Shabbos. So that's a lazy person who loses out in this regard. Okay, why did we bring this up? Because the Gemara then goes on and eventually gets to the same line of Mitok Shelo Lishma Bo Lishma. And Tosos and Psachim over there in source number 4 asks the Kasha, how do we shtim the concept of Mitok Shelo Lishma Bo Lishma with the concept of Noach Lo Shelo Nivra? How do we make sense out of this? So Tosvos gives a classic Ukimta Pshat, right? Tosvos' style, I don't know percentages, but if you find like differences, let's say, between Tosvos versus a Ramban style, is Tosvos likes to say Ukimtas whenever possible, and the Ramban likes to say Chidushim instead of Ukimtas. That doesn't mean Tosvos never says Chidushim, it doesn't mean the Ramban never says Ukimtas. It just means that Lamaisa, the style, Tosvos gives a classic Ukimta Pshat here, where he said, Tosfos says, "Tema gufe amarit berik beis de brachos kolosik b'tor shelo lishmanoch lo shelo nivra v'omeri dahasa mayri kigon shelomed kidei lihisyaher ulekanter ulekapech es chaverav behalacha." So he says, "No, no. The case of noach lo shelo nivra, that type of shelo lishma is what? What is it? What does that mean?" Right, what's lehis yahir, like yuhara? To be a balgaiva. He wants to show off how much he knows. Or lekanter, he's trying to cause fights. He's trying to make arguments, lekapeach haschaver, to disprove everybody else. He doesn't really care what the emes of Torah is. He cares that this guy shouldn't be the best guy in the Beis Medrash, and I want to knock him down. So anytime he says a chiddush, I'm going to try to learn up the sugya better than he is, and I'm going to show that he doesn't know how to say anything good. So he says, that type of shelo lishma is noach lo shelo nivra. Better a person not be born than to learn Torah for those purposes. Right? But the eino lomed al menas las was just an important addition to that point. He's not learning al menas lasos. He's not learning so that he'll know what to do and to follow the Torah. He's learning just to stick it to people. I believe the reason Tosfos throws in that last line of Eino no, Lomen Amalas Lasos is that there's a somewhat parallel Yerushalmi to the Bavli in Brachas. There's Yerushalmi in Brachas that said, Halomed Ve'eno Mekayim. Person who learns Torah but does not fulfill the Torah, Noach lo, they have the more graphic version of the Noach lo shelo nivra, right? They say Noach lo she nefach shel yaso apana velo yotza la'avir ha'olam. Right, that's the Yerushalmi's version of the story. They give you the more gross, detailed version of Noach lo shelo nivra. They said, no, better shenefach shel yaso alpanav, that when he was a fetus, he should have somehow been breached in his mother's womb and died in utero, v'lo yatzel avir olam, and he should have never come to breathe the air of this world. Right, so that's the, you know, the Bavli cleaned it up a little bit, but the Essentially, the Yerushalmi says that not about someone who does it shelo lishma, but a person who learns, but bedafka does not fulfill his learning. Now, again, it doesn't mean that if you're learning Hilchos Shabbos and then you accidentally violate Shabbos, so you're noach lo shelo nivra, but it means a person who's learning and doesn't plan on fulfilling those things that he learns about. Right? So if that should be at least the primary goal of a person who's learning Torah, so he should say, listen, obviously, when I learn, if I ever get the opportunity to fulfill these mitzvos, I'm going to do so. And I'm going to do so with a more of a depth of understanding than I had before I learned the sugya. So that goes without saying. That's the ABCs of Talmud Torah. Right? Gadol Talmud Shemevi Lidei Maisa. That's one of the great difficult to understand gemaras in Bava Kamma. Right? You guys, anybody learn Bava Kamma recently? Right? So that's, you know that gemara I'm talking about? It's hard to understand the Gemara they had a big debate going on what's greater, Talmud or Maisa. So what did they conclude? Talmud, why? Because it's maybe Lidei Maisa. Okay, Shkayach. So Maisa is greater then, right? Talmud is maybe Lidei Maisa. So Maisa is greater, but you can't get there without Talmud. So that's all right. Lemaisa, that you have to understand that Gemara differently. But it's a hard Gemara to understand. But certainly the ABCs of Talmud is, it has to be maybe Lidei Maisa. So that's what the Yerushalmi is saying. So the Bavli changes that up a little bit to Shelo Lishma. So Tosus is sort of, by giving you that one-liner, stimming the Bavli and the Yerushalmi by saying that he's only lomed amenas lekanter, but he's not planning on being mekayim. So it's really the same type of statement. That's the Shelo Lishma and Brachas feeding off of the Yerushalmi's type of lomed Shelo amenas lekayim. Right, but the Gemara in Pesachim, that's a different type of Shelo Lishma altogether. What type of Shelo Lishma is that? So Tosfos continues, Aval Hacha Mayri Dumya Dahi Dileel. It's more comparable to the Gemara we just read. Yeshafel v'niskar Shelo Avid Kula Shabasa V'lo B'mali Shabasa Sheim Eskavin L'shum Ra'a Elamitoch Atzlus Afilo Achi Gadol Ad Shamayim Chasto. So he says that that's the continuation of the Gemara I skipped. Gadolat Shemayim Chasno is Shelo Lishma, and Me'al Shemayim is Lishma. Right? So he says, just like this lazy guy, why didn't he work on Erev Shabbos? Because he's lazy. He cares about Shabbos so much. Yeah, he cares a little, but he wasn't like he was Bedafka, a hard worker all week, so that he decided he's going to, despite his excellent work ethic, he wants to get off early on Erev Shabbos to properly prepare for Shabbos. He's always looking for a day off. So he sees an opportunity to take a day off. He takes it. Totally Shelo Lishma. Nevertheless, he gets credit. He gets credit. Not Me'al HaShemayim, but Ad HaShemayim. Right? Shelo Lishma. So that's the type of Shelo Lishma that we allow. You understand? It's feeding his natural tendencies. But if his natural tendencies are to be a big jerk, and that's why he's learning Torah, so that doesn't count. Right? And that's the Tosfos and Brachos expands upon this a little differently, but same exact idea. So Vim Tomar, Ho Amar Rav Yudam Arav, Perk Makam Shenagu, Liolam Yasok, Odom, Torah Mitzvah, Afila Shalol, Shema Shadok Shalol, Shema Bol, Shema, Yishlom Ardach Amayri, She'en Olomid, Ela Lekanter Chaverav, So Tosfos takes it in Brachos and makes it a little bit more extreme. He says, why is he learning Torah Shelo Lishma, which is fine, and that's going to come to Lishma? Because he wants kavod. He wants everybody to call him rabbi. He wants everybody to stand up when he walks in the room. He wants everybody to ask him all the questions. Everyone should think he's smart. Right? He wants glory. He wants honor. So that type of Shelo Lishma, we say, do it anyway. It's not as good as Lishma, but hopefully it will at one time come to Lishma. Masha'en Kain, Lekanter, that's never acceptable. So again, so the Tosfos and Pesachim seems to say, like, it's not as bad, right? It's not as serious a reason why you're learning Shelo Lishma. Just like, why am I learning? I don't know. It's something I was going to do anyway. I'm having a test. I want to get 100 on the test. Right? Not for the covet of getting 100 on the test, but just because you know, I like doing well in school. I want to get a good job. You know, but here he's Tosfos in Brachas says, no, even if he's doing it for kavod, even if he just wants people to, you know, Baruch Hashem, we live in a world that Torah scholars are revered in many circles, right? Didn't always used to be that way. But Baruch Hashem, Torah's back. Torah's made a serious comeback in the last 20 years or so. And to be a Talmud Chacham in any frum circle is looked at with respect. And therefore, it's very worthwhile to if you want to get a lot of respect from your peers, become a Talmud Chacham. And we say for that, that's okay. Tok Shalol Lishma, Bal Lishma. So that's Tosfos's famous teretz. There's a good kasha that the Marsha has, which relates to our initial kasha. Our initial kasha was, wait a minute, Balak never came to Lishma, right? So now that we saw the Tosfos, we can be Mosif onto that kasha. What can we be Mosif? What can we add? I don't know. That's Lakanter. No, that's there's nothing worse than you want to show that a guy doesn't know how to learn. So all right. So Mamela, if you grew up in the Olam HaYeshivos, in the Olam HaTorah, so maybe not knowing how to learn is worse than death. But Pashtus is in the real world. It's better to be a living Amaretz than a dead, you know, a dead guy who knows how to learn. So Balak was bringing Karbanos to kill us, so that Bilam could get the Koach to curse us. And that's not Lakanter. It's worse if some guy's trying to prove that I'm an Amaretz, so he learns Torah. That's worse than Balak bringing Karbanos? It's hard to imagine. So Marsha asked that Kasha. So he says, what's going on here? Right, in Tomar, I'm in the middle of the first line. He's quoting the Tosfos here. Sorry. Let's skip a little bit. Tosfos says this in a lot of places. Miu hahi de bolak maisiachal lechor lekapech lacherim sharei bo bohem lekalo Yisrael. Yesh lomar. So what's the answer? Right? What's the opening passing in Parshas Balak? Vayar Balak. Balak saw the Hatzlacha. He saw Milchemes Sichon and Og. He said, I'm next. I'm in big trouble. They're going to kill me and take over my land. So he has a right to self-preservation. It's not his job to roll over for the Jewish people and let them kill him and take his land. So he's engaging in self-preservation and trying to defend his nation. He wants to wage war against the Jewish people. He knows if they have the siyata d'shmaya that they always have, forget about it. He's done. So therefore, he's not willing to go to war, just a battle of arms. He needs Bilam on his side to curse the Jews. Part of cursing the Jews in order to preserve his nation is that he needs to bring these karbanos. So he's not bringing the karbanos to kill the Jews. He's bringing the Karbanos as part of his duties as the monarch of his nation. It's my job to make sure that my army doesn't get wiped out by a rival army. So it's not like he really cares that the Jews should be this cursed people. He doesn't care one way or the other. He's trying to save himself. Do the Jews have to die in order for him to save himself? They sure do if there's going to be a war. Right? So he didn't go to war against the Jews because he hates the Jews. Bilam hated the Jews. Balak didn't hate the Jews. He just wanted to, you know, live out his days as king of Moab. So therefore, it wasn't as bad as Lakanter. Wasn't as bad. Okay. So that's one way you could look at it. He could have just surrendered and left. The point is that apparently the Marsha takes the concept of Lakanter 100% seriously and says, you're dafka trying to stick it to the other guy. That's why you're doing Torah and Mitzvot, to stick it to people. Balak didn't mean to stick it to anybody. If he would have found out the next day that the Jews aren't interested in Eretz Yisrael anymore, they're interested in Uganda, right? They were ahead of their time. They wanted to all go live in Uganda because it's such a wonderful place. So they, So now, okay, Bullock's good to go. You know, Jews, you go do your Jewish thing over there. I'll do my Midianite Moabite thing over here. You know, he didn't mind. He didn't have anything against the Jews per se. So he wasn't dafka lekanter. He wasn't dafka trying to use a korban to stick it to somebody else. He was bringing a korban because that's what's necessary for him to do his job. So now stam shalol lishmo. He's doing it for l'hanos atzmo. Right? To paraphrase the Gemara at the end of the parak. He's doing l'hanos atzmo shiny. Right? So he was trying to, he was just trying to take care of himself. Okay, that's the marsha. I wanted to say a second teretz, based on the psukim and Sefer Melachim. We know that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, and we have the pasuk, the famous pasuk, Ki Beisi Beis Tefillah Yikarei L'chol HaAmin, that the house of Hashem is officially a makom tefillah for all nations, not just for the Jewish people. All nations are supposed to be able to come and daven at the Beis HaMikdash. And part of that yisod was from the famous prayer that Shlomo HaMelech gave when he first opened up the Beis HaMikdash for business. And then Perek Ches and Melachim Aleph, if you have it in source number 6, V'gam el ha-nachri asher lo me'amcha Yisrael, hu uva me'eretz rechoka l'man shemecha. If there's a non-Jew who comes seeking you out from a far-off land, ki yishmuna shimcha gadol v'esyarcha chazaka zroa netuya uva v'espalel al bayis hazeh. Why is he coming to daven in the Beis HaMikdash? Because he heard how great you are, Hashem. He heard about your immense power. Right? If you remember, it's not that the goyim didn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's not even necessarily that the goyim didn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the chief God. They believed that Hashem was extremely powerful, right? They just also worshipped Avodah Zarah. So, or they meant maybe they felt that their Avodah Zarahs were more shaykh to them, and Hashem is more shaykh to those who worship the chief God. We're a small time operation over here. We worship our gods. You know, lemaisa, not lahavdil. It's the same vort. I'm saying Christians have this concept of there's a constant struggle between God and the devil. Right, so most of the time, God is more powerful than the devil, but you know the devil can get in some good punches every once in a while, and you know he makes it a fight. You know, so like we know people like that. There are always guys that, let's say, you can play them in a one-on-one, and you know you'll win, but you know it's going to be a game. You know, so God is more powerful than the devil, and but it's always a good fight. So also the Goyim know, so some people choose to worship the devil. They say, all right, listen, I identify more with the devil. Is God more powerful than the devil? Of course. But devil's pretty awesome. You know, so I choose to identify, and the devil speaks to me better than God, so I choose to worship the devil. Right? So obviously as Jews we understand ein od milvado, that's utter nonsense in every, you know, meaning of the word, that there's nothing that goes on in this entire universe that is outside of the Ratzon Hashem. There's no such thing as a fight between Kadosh Baruch Hu and anyone else. I'm saying there's nothing in the world besides the Ratzon Hashem. So there's no devils, there's no good angels, bad angels. We use these terms in order to make them more palatable to us. But every malach and every force, both natural and supernatural, that exists is only under the auspices of the Ratzon Hashem. But Lamaisa, they took this kind of, the Christians took this as they took pretty much every other concept of their religion from the pagans that they were trying to adapt to their religion when they were still a fledgling faith, and they incorporated them into their version of monotheism. But that's what the Avodah Zarah held at the time. So just because this guy is an Avodah Zarah doesn't mean he's not going to come to daven to Hashem. Hashem is extremely powerful. So he's going to come and he's going to daven to you. And then Pasuk Mem Gimel says, Ato tishma ha-shamayim achon shivtecha v'asisa kechol asher yikra elecha nachri. Please, he's saying to Hashem, do whatever the nachri asks. L'man yedun kol amei aretz eshimecha l'yiros chokamcha yisro v'ladas kishimcha nikra l'abayis azer asher bonisi. Because we want to teach this lesson to the nations of the world that you're in charge and you have the koach to do anything, and this is your home base. Right? So Shlomo HaMelech gave a special tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if a non-Jew ever comes to daven in the Beis HaMikdash, please give him whatever he asks for. And I'm not going to read the whole thing inside now, but Rashi and the Radak both say the same shot, which I'm sure you've heard many times. Right? I'll read Rashi. Uvi Yisrael hu omer v'nosat al ish kichol drachav. Shlomo HaMelech, when it came to a Jew who davens in the Beis HaMikdash, give him according to his ways. What does that mean? L'fishi Yisrael makir b'kodesh baruch hu v'yodeh asha yecholis b'yado v'mein tvilas o'nishmas toles adavar ba'atzmo v'cheto. Right? If a Jew davens to Hashem and asks for something, so when God doesn't give him exactly what he wants, right? So a mature Jewish person will say, you know what? Maybe I wasn't deserving. I davened, Hashem heard me, said no, you don't deserve it. Or it's not the best thing for you. So Hashem decided, for whatever reason, to say no. And the Jew will be tolet on himself. He's not going to say, God doesn't have the ability to give this to me. He's going to say, God, for whatever reason, chose not to give this to me, and it's my own fault. However, a Nachri won't say this. Right? A Nachri will say, there must not be a Jewish God, or he must not be as powerful as we thought. Right? That's basically paraphrasing the rest of Rashi. He's going to say that, and the Radak for that matter, that they're going to complain, and then they're going to say that, this famous Beis HaMikdash that I heard about, which is this great house of prayer, it's nothing special. I went there, my prayers weren't answered. There's nothing going on over there. There's nothing going on with this Jewish God. He's very overrated. Right? So that's why Shlomo HaMelech davened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu not be medakdek in whether or not the non-Jew is truly deserving of having his prayer fulfilled. Rather, we should just give him that which he requested. So perhaps based on this yisod, we can understand why the rules didn't necessarily apply to Balak. Because again, when a Jew does a mitzvah, a Jew is unable to understand the chilukim between the Shema and Shalol Shema. And a Jew is unable to understand, why am I really serving Hashem? Why am I really serving Hashem? Because I want to connect to the infinite. I want to become a part of that entire process of infinity. I want to become more godlike in my actions, in my thoughts, in my entire hashkafa. Right? A Jew understands this, Yisod. So a Jew understands, when I do something for ulterior motives, that mitzvah is pogum on some level. There's something wrong with that. And certainly, any Jew who knows anything about anything should understand that if I do it lekanter, if I do it for a negative reason, that's the opposite of what the Torah is trying to do for me in the first place. Right? However, a Nachri doesn't have that understanding. A Nachri doesn't have the understanding of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to connect and have a relationship to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? What did they offer in those, especially in those days? What did they offer to the gods? Right? They offered sacrifices to the gods. Korbanos are not sacrifices. Right? What's the shorish of the word? Right? Korban. Right? Right? To become close. Right? Kuf Resh Beis is a shorish of closeness. We bring korbanos to get close to God. They bring offerings to the gods. Right? They say, listen, there's a God of the harvest. He's very hungry. So, or you know, depending on if it's a he or a she, there's a God of the harvest. He's very hungry. He loves grain and foods and corn and all that good stuff. And that's why before every harvest, we take some of the best stuff and we leave it up on the hilltop for him to consume. And if he eats it, and if you know we cooked it to the right temperature and we put the right barbecue sauce on it, then hopefully he'll leave us alone and give us a decent harvest. Right? We don't want to know from this God. We don't want anything to do with him. But Lamaisa, he's in control. He's got powers. We don't have powers. So we have to appease the gods with offerings. Get them out of our faces. Right? That was a Nachri's view of how to serve a god. So the Nachri's view was, what's in it for me? Who cares what my motives are? I'm not trying to forge a relationship here. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he's going to be a kapton and say, well, you know, I'm not going to, give any reward for your korbanos, because you're doing them for the wrong. You're not doing them to get close to me. You're just doing them for your ulterior motives. Some of your motives being negative. So the goy is not going to have that havana of, oh, the reason God doesn't care about my korbanos is that korban is designed to get close to this incorporeal infinite being that I can't really relate to in any way. So I realize now what my mistake was. Okay, back to the drawing board. I'll try harder next time. Right, and it's also for that reason, what kind of korban is a goy allowed to bring? Right, he's only allowed to bring a korban ola. Goy can't bring a korban shlamim. Can't have a shutfus with the rabbono shlalom in terms of Hashem's going to quote-unquote consume part of the korban and we're going to consume part of the korban. Goy doesn't chop that concept of the closeness that can exist where God and I are going to eat from the same table. You know, they're not in that parsha. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be so medactic in the actions of goyim to the extent that a goy who does something shalol lishma and even lekanter is going to be punished for that, or it's going to be viewed as a negative thing. If a goy does something for shalol lishma for any reason, that's automatically considered something positive. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu rewards him as such, doesn't expect nearly as much. He's not medakdik in whether the goy is deserving of the tefillah, via the tefillah, and he's not medakdik in whether the mitzvah was done lishma or shalol lishma. I think maybe that's a way to answer the Marsha's kasha of how do we say that Bilam was not doing it lekanter. It still doesn't answer the second kasha, or the original kasha, sorry. It doesn't answer the original kasha of this never came to be lishma. But perhaps one can understand a further step in saying that the only way to bring a goy in to this whole system is to first give the goy what he wants. Shlomo HaMelech says, goy is going to daven, I'm going to give you what you want, and then you're going to say, hey, worked so well the first time, I'll be back. And every time he needs something, he comes. And, you know, as the old saying goes, you can't work in a flower shop and not come out smelling like roses. Right? Person works in a perfume store, he's going to smell good at the end of the day. Guy shows up at the Beis HaMikdash enough times, some kedusha is going to eventually rub off on him. And things will change slowly, slowly, slowly. So maybe we can bring a raya that mitoch shalol lishma bal lishma from Bullock. Granted, nothing good ever came from Bullock's korbanos in terms of that he ever did it lishma. But the yisod is omei b'mkomo. Why would Hashem accept Bullock's korbanos? Why would Hashem listen to the Nachri's tefillah if the tefillah is only for a self-serving purpose? The answer is, because I'm going to give him what he wants, and in that way he'll be back. And when he comes back again, for a self-serving reason, you know, he'll gain a little more in Kedusha, he'll gain a little more in Kedusha, and finally he'll start to get it. Finally he'll start to catch on to what's going on. So granted, there are two different scales. Kodesh Baruch Hu expects more from the Jew, and expects the Jew to do things not in a negative shalol lishma of lekanter, but in a positive shalol lishma, oh, not positive, but a neutral shalol lishma, perhaps wanting kavod, or perhaps so they can get a good grade, or, you know, for whatever reason. So in order to accomplish that, a Kadosh Baruch Hu accepts the shalol lishma of a Jew the same way they would accept the lekanter of the non-Jew, but eventually it will lead to lishma for both. I don't know if that answers the kasha perfectly, but I think it's at least a nice starting point to think about. Okay. There is not a steer in the Rambam at all. It's just a difficult Rambam to understand the flow. In source number 8, the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah talks about this same yesod, but he starts off with Tchilas Dino Shel Adam Eino Nidon Ela Al HaTalmud. The initial judgment that a person will undergo is because of learning. Is based on how much learning a person did, or how much Torah they know over the course of their lifetime. V'achar kach al shar ma'isav, and afterwards the Kadosh Baruch Hu will look at everything else. Right, that's the first statement of the Rambam. Lefichach amru chacham lo'olam yasak adam b'torah shbein l'shma b'in shalol l'shma shemitoch shalol l'shma b'al l'shma. Therefore, you should always learn Torah, even Shalom Lishma. So everybody has the same kasha. What's the flow? So lest you say, it's not the Rambam's fault, it's the Gemara's fault. Right? Because the Gemara put these two concepts together. So the Rambam's just quoting the Gemara. Not true. One is a Gemara in Kiddushin, one is a Gemara in a bunch of places that we've seen. Right? The Rambam, quoting the Gemara in Kiddushin, I didn't give you the Gemara in Kiddushin, I gave you the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Okay, fair enough. But it's also Gemara in Kiddushin. I figured we're learning Sanhedrin, so may as well quote from Daf Zayin. Right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin says the exact same Gemara in Kiddushin, though. The Amar Rav Amnuna ain't chilas dino shel adam nidon el al divrei Torah shenemar poter mayim reishis madam. We learn from the pasuk poter mayim reishis madam. Literally, Rashi tells you what is the Torah about. Ain't mayim el Torah. Mayim often is represented in the psukim. Torah is often represented in the psukim by water. So we say ain't mayim el Torah, and poter mayim, one who patters himself from Torah, reishis madam. That will be the beginning of his judgment. Meaning a person who chooses not to learn Torah, that's going to be the first thing that he's judged on when he gets up to Shemayim. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in Kiddushin, right? But that has nothing to do with the other Gemaras, which say, Yimitok Shalol Shema Bal Shema. The Rambam on his own chose to put these two Gemaras together. Yeah?
It's more goes with the idea of just, like if we were saying, split up the original Gemara into two parts, more goes with the first part, learn Lol Shema.
Right. So you're saying very important yisod. Even if you're able to shift the kasha to say, so but where does the lishma come in? Right? You could shift the kasha, say, no, the Rambam put two and two together. He says, because Tchilas Dino is on Torah, so just learn Torah, period. Yeah, but who cares about Mitoch Shalol Lishma Bal Lishma then? So what's that part about? That's right. So that's the question. Why does the Rambam Dafka choose to put these two Gemaras together? So just as a slight tangent, we have Tosos asks the obvious kasha that I'm sure you guys were thinking of, which is what? Tchilas Dino is ala Torah? Is that really true? Right? When you get up to Shemayim, what are they going to ask you? Right? Well, how many questions are they going to ask you guys? Right, so everyone says three, but it's six. Right? I used to think three also. It's six questions. Just people don't know what three of the six means, so they just say three. What? No, they know what people don't know what two of the six means, so they say three. Not sure why how that works out. But it's they ask you six questions. Right? What are the six questions? Number one, Nasata of Nasata Bemuna. Right? Did you do business honestly? Number two, Kavati Tima Torah. Number three, Tzipisa Yeshua. Number four, Asakta Bepiria Verivya. Number five, Pilpalta Bechachma. Number six, Hevanta Dover Mitoch Dover. Right, so you can say, why five and six never made the good list. Right, so what? Did you make Tzustels? Hevanta Dover Mitoch Dover. Did you shtel Tzu this Gemara with that Gemara? That's what Tosis is for. I don't know. So saying, I don't know. So at the whatever. One day you try to figure out what that means. And also Pilpal to Bachachma. Did you engage in Lumdus? I don't know, Pilpal. Did you engage in the depths of wisdom? Right? Okay, good. These are some of the kashas we're gonna be asking when we go up to Shemayim. So you better figure out what they mean. Right? So the other four we know what they mean. Okay, were you honest in business? Nish Pasha. You know, that's one of the great avodas of our generation. Unfortunately, Rav Schechter was in North Woodmere Shabbos before he came to camp, and he was very adamant he gave a shiur on business ethics. He said, listen, we'll talk about all these different details of, what if this happens, what if that happens, what the other. The maisa, the main thing is to be honest in business. The main thing, if you're going to go to work, you have to be beyond reproach. You know, you have to, he said he was talking, they used to be friends with a Hasidish guy, and the Hasidish guy would always tell him, the jails are filled with my friends, but none of your friends are in jail. So Rav Schechter used to joke. He says, even the jails discriminate against YU. So he says, they won't even let him into the jail. But so Shat said, unfortunately, nowadays there are equal opportunity jails filled with all kinds of Jews. So it doesn't matter. Minakotze el akotze. So it's our achrayus to train ourselves young already to be honest in business. First question you get asked when you go to Shemayim. Number one, were you honest in your business dealings? Right? It's got to be important. So number one, kasha. Right? So we have to be mechazik ourselves when it's not a nisayon, and then hopefully when the nisayon comes, we'll be omid b'nisayon. Right? It's very important. Very, very important. Okay, lemaisa, so that's the kasha we're going to be asked. Not how did we learn? We're not going to get a fahar in our learning. So the Marsha deals with this kasha as well. Right, do I have time to talk about the Marsha? All right, if you have some time, look at the Marsha. He gives two basic answers. But there's a cute, if you get a chance to, guys have the Sefer a lot. Pnina Mishulchan Agra. You ever see the Sefer Pnina Mishulchan Agra? Pnina Mishulchan Agra, I think, in the back, he has some agarita, stuff on agaritas. So he has on that Gemara and Shabbos, and Daf Lamed Aleph, so he has the Gemara and Shabbos there, that he says that the previous sugya was talking about, was giving psukim that alluded to all Shisha Sidre Mishnah. So the Gra says that all six questions are not actually to be taken literally. They're, each one is referring to one of the Shisha Sidre Mishnah. So he says, really, the two Gemaras are saying the same thing. The first Gemara is saying, you're going to get a Faher in all your learning, the first thing when you get up to Shemayim. It's not going to be Stam a Faher. It's going to be a six-part exam. Zroim, Moed, Noshim, Ezekim, Kachim, Taurus. Six-part exam. And he goes through, because the Gemara used Psukim to refer to these things. So he shows how Nosata, Nosata, Vemuna is a lashon emunas hitecha, which is a lashon seder zroim, right? Kavata itim la Torah, itim is lashon moed, talking about times, right? Okay, whatever. So it's a vart, but that's the gon l'shitaso, that learning is learning, and everything else is everything else. So he says, you really are just going to get a fire in your learning when you get up to Shemayim. So he says, but you have to know kol of shas. Right, so that's you're going to get on all Shishas Zri Mishnah. Okay, Lemaisa, that's just a side point. It's kedai to keep that in mind. So in order to understand what we're talking about here, that the Tchilas Dino has some relationship to Torah Lishma, let's take a look in this two places in the Rambam where it talks about Torah Lishma. One we just saw in Hilchos Talmud Torah, the other one's in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Yud, Halacha Dalet. It's actually in Halacha Hey, but let's start with Dalet. So the Rambam says, Amru Chachamim Arishonim Shematom Harini Lo Me Torah Bishvil She'eya Oshir Bishvil She'ekra Rebi Bishvil She'akabel Scharbo L'mabo Talmud Lomer La'avo Es Hashem Kol Ma She'atem Osim Lo Ta'asu Ela Me Ahavo. So the Rambam does two important things here. He tells you what Shalol Lishma is. He gives you three good examples of Shalol Lishma, right? So I'll get rich. Right, still waiting to meet the guy who got rich because he knew how to learn. But Lamaisa could happen. So Rambam says, I want to learn so I can get rich. He says, I want to learn so they'll call me rabbi, or I want to learn so that I'll get a lot of reward in Olam Haba. So he says, no, that's Shalol Lishma. That's not the right reason. You should be learning for love of Hashem. Va'od amru chachamim. Right, and he goes b'mitzvot, so he goes on a little bit further. Get a couple more sources, and then the Rambam continues in the next halacha. Kol osik b'torah kedei lekabel schar o kedei shelo tagia lav puranus areza osik shelo lishma. As we said, you want to get reward or avoid punishments, so that's still called shelo lishma. Kol osik b'lo liyira v'lo lekabel schar v'lo mipnei avas adon kol aretz shetziva ba areza osik b'lo lishma. Right. But if you do it out of love, right, you're not doing it out of fear of bad things and hopes for good things. You're just doing it out of love of Hashem. That is called the Shema. There's the key. Therefore, so he says, when you're learning children and women in Am Eretz, meaning people who haven't had a lot of exposure to Torah. When you're teaching somebody who doesn't, in the early days of learning, Ein melamdin osan ela lavod miyira. You should bedafka teach them to fear Hashem, and that's why you should serve Hashem. Ukedei lekabel schar, and do it for the reward. Ad shetar bedaitam v'yischach muchach ma'yisera negalim lehem roz ze ma'at ma'at u'margilin osan le'inyin ze benachas ad shiyasigu v'yadiyu v'yavduhu me'ava. You cannot tell a person to serve Hashem me'ava off the bat. There's no such thing. Right? Rather, you have to start them off with Shelo Lishma. And you should bedavka start them off with Shelo Lishma. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, as the famous Diuk, says in the Gemara, Li Olam Yasog Adam. Li Olam means there are no exceptions to this rule. You must start Shelo Lishma. You must. If you think you're going to start Lishma, you're fooling yourself. Rav Dessler gives a mashal of the ladder of Yaakov Avinu. He says, Torah is a ladder. Torah is not a staircase. Torah is a ladder. You cannot skip steps on a ladder. You want to skip steps on a staircase? You might live to tell the tale. Skip steps on a ladder, you're going down. And you're going to come down hard. Right? You cannot start Lishma. You must start Shelo Lishma. You have to climb the ladder of Torah one rung at a time. Right? That's a very, very important yisod. Have to start Shelo Lishma, no matter who you think you are. No matter who you think you are, you're not the exception to this rule, and that's why the Rambam says, you bedavka should teach them Shelo Lishma, because that's the only way they're going to get started. They're not going to start by learning Lishma. You should just say, who wants to hear the word of God? Why? Because God is unbelievably great, and don't you want to be close to Him? Like, close to what? Close to the, you know, infinity, close to invisible, close to incorporeal, like, it doesn't mean anything to me. I'm just coming because, you know, there's candy after the shiur, right? Or before, or during, or both, you know? Saying, I'm coming, you know, for the reward. So you say, no, I'm going to teach my students, I'm going to teach my children, only serve Hashem Lishma. It's not going to work. How can you have Avas Hashem if you never even met Him? Right? How are you going to meet Hashem? Read my book. You'll get to know me very well. Right? Famous Yesod. Right? You want to learn about a famous author. Let's say you want to learn about Mark Twain. So you have a number of ways you can go about it. You can read a biography. So you'll know facts. You'll know, you know, different ideas that happened to him. Maybe some things that he said. You want to know him a little bit better. You can read an autobiography, where he's telling you what he wants you to know about himself. But if you really want to know him, don't read his biography or his autobiography. Because then you'll just know facts and things that he wants you to know. You want to know him, you want to know his essence, his soul, what's chashuv to him in every way, read his novels. Because the soul of the writer is coming out in the actual literature. Right? Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, that the Gemara in Shabbos famously says, Anochi Hashem Elkech, Anochi is a no tree cone. Ano nashai ksivas yahavis. I have given you over my soul in writing. Right, you want to chap a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you want to have Avas Hashem, there's only one route you can take. You can take the philosophical route and think of all that Hakaras HaTov you need to have, that will get you to a point. But if you don't get to know the Ribbono Shel Olam, if you don't get to know Hashem's likes and dislikes, if you don't get to know what Hashem is all about, then you will not be able to love Hashem. And that in that way, you'll come to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lishma. So going back to the previous Rambam, the Rambam is saying, Tchilas dino shel adam eino el haTorah. We're going to be judged in Torah, but we have a problem. We have a problem. How are we ever going to get to learn Torah the way it's supposed to be learned? Meaning, I get it. I have to know Torah. But I'm going to live my whole life thinking, Tchilas dino shel adam is Torah. So my whole life is going to be thinking, let's learn, we got to learn. It's going to be, Gon says there's going to be a test on all of Shas when I get up there. Right? So in the back of my mind, that's all I'm ever going to be thinking about. Lefichach, therefore, since you must know the Torah, but we have a major problem that stems from that, the Chachamim told you, don't worry about it. Because mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma. As long as it's done the right way. as long as it's done in a way of, you know, as the Rambam says, I want covet, I want this, you can start with that. I want to avoid the punishment. I want to get the reward. You can start there, and it will eventually lead you to Torah Lishma. And Torah Lishma will solve every problem of Tchilas Dino Shel Adam. So it's a self-fulfilling system, self-perpetuating system, I guess. So that's perhaps one way you can learn the Rambam's Tzushtel between the two Gemaras. You're going to be judged on Torah. You're going to get a major fahar when you get up there. But you have a problem. Is that now that you know this, you're stuck learning Shelo Lishma all your life. So no, therefore the Chachamim said to you, no. You talk Shelo Lishma, Bo Lishma, you will get to the right place. The Tchilas Dino is important. And not only that, but L'chora, the quality of the Limud, Lishma versus Shelo Lishma, will also be tested. And if you want to end up me'al hashamayim, not just ad l'shamayim, as the Gemara Pesachim said, you want to end up me'al hashamayim, you have to learn lishma. But don't fear, because you will get there. That's the yisod of perhaps the Rambam's trying to give over. Okay, there is a major second part to this that I wanted to speak at. I was going to bridge it to a more halacha-oriented thing. To the topic of mitzvos lav lehenos nitnu, to try to bridge it with the famous hakdama to the egle tal, which, you know, that's Yeshiva Bachar 101. They tell you, like, your first day of yeshiva, about limud me'ava, learning me'ava, being learning lishma, so and getting hana from the learning. So maybe, you know, if I ever get another opportunity to speak to you, maybe we'll pick it up from there. Okay, everybody have a good Shabbos.